You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alrighty, welcome to the Celtics Lab podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Tuftby. I'm joined by Dr. Justin Quinn today. And this time next week, we'll have a couple of NBA games under our belt. Tuesday marks the opening of the season for the Boston Celtics. They're going to play the Philadelphia 76ers at home. So we welcome in our friend, Kai Carlin of USA Today and Sixers Wire. Kai, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. I'm so ready to talk about real basketball.
Yeah, I'm happy the preseason's over. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, covering preseason basketball just sucks. The game doesn't matter. So I'm excited that, you know, we're going to be start covering games that actually matter.
Did you guys get any overtimes for Philly? I wasn't paying attention.
No, thank God. Yeah, thank God. And I know the Celtics had to go to overtime with one of their preseason games when they played Toronto. So I was thinking about you, Justin. I really was. And so I was like, wow, Justin has to cover an overtime preseason game. Well, there was one time, Justin, the Sixers went to, I think, double OT in Summer League a couple years ago.
And that's probably why they have the Elam ending now.
Yeah, yeah. The double overtime Summer League game was terrible.
It was pretty fun. I thought the buzz was pretty fun, but because I'm a million years old, I love the baseball, and it's hard to, like, know really high-stakes baseball games are being played while – It's a dereliction of duty to not cover the preseason instead. Are you a Phillies fan?
No, I'm actually, I don't know if Justin's ever told you this, and I know you and I really haven't talked, but I'm actually from Michigan originally. So I'm a Detroit Tigers fan. So unfortunately, the Tigers haven't been really relevant in baseball since about maybe 2015 was probably like last time they made the playoffs, or
yeah, it's been
14. Last time they were that good was, you know, that was like the Miguel Cabrera, Justin Verlander, you know, Prince Fielder, Victor Martinez teams, you know?
Yeah. I didn't think I cared that the Sox were bad until Wild Card weekend. And then I was bummed to be out of it. But anyways, this is a basketball podcast. Kai, we haven't seen the Sixers play real competitive, meaningful basketball in a while. And since then, the roster's changed a little bit. Before we get into the minutia of the season and the opening night and all that, give us your summary of where the Sixers are at and your level of confidence for how far this team can go.
Well, they've definitely improved. You kind of mentioned the roster changes that the team has continued to make. They made little moves around the edges, which kind of – that's always been something that the Sixers have struggled with over the last couple of years, meaning – they've always had their stars, right? They were such a star-heavy team, but they never really had a supporting cast around them that would do the little things and actually be able to complement the stars they had on their roster. This time around, they have them. You have Joel, you have James Harden, Tyrese Maxey continues to take huge steps forward. That kid is so impressive. But they went out and they brought in a P.J. Tucker. They went out and brought in a Daniel House. They went out and brought in a Montrezl Harrell, a D'Anthony Melton, to continue to grow that team and actually add some toughness for one. And these guys are actually two-way players. They add depth, and now you don't have to play Furkan Korkmaz so many minutes off your bench. You can go to a Daniel House and guys like that. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they turn out. I still have my doubts about them come playoff time, just for the simple fact that you know that Harden is always good for a playoff clunker. He's always good for one, and it always seems to kind of pop up in the most inopportune time. Harden's career playoff numbers are great, but when you delve into him a little bit more and you look at his playoff logs, he's always got that one random playoff clunker that comes out of nowhere, and you don't expect it, and it seems to pop up the most inopportune time. So I kind of happens like another round two exit.
Wow, I'm surprised by that, actually. I mean, so many people are saying that they're you know, MVP favorite Joel Embiid and at least an Eastern Conference Finals appearance for this team, which is really what I think of them, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And people thought the Detroit Lions were actually going to be good this year too. So we saw how that turned out. So, I think the reason why I'm still kind of just like, on them is because Joel's another one. I think this team is built to win 60 games in the regular season. Like, they could easily be the number one seed. They could. I don't think it would really surprise anybody. But it's not like the Sixers have any guys on their roster that, except for maybe PJ Tucker, who's got the championship, you know, on his resume, that have proven themselves in the playoffs. Joel's another one. Like, as amazing as Joel Embiid is and how terrific that guy is absolutely incredible. And in my opinion, he's a top five player in the league. I thought he should have won MVP last year. But I understand why they gave it to Jokic. He had a hell of a season out in Denver too. So no, it wasn't like a huge deal to me, but when you look at Joel's playoff career, he's another one that you don't know about his health. And I understand that the facial fracture this year was kind of that was a freak injury, but he always seems to have something happen to him. Always. There's always that one thing, like, you're waiting for it to come. It happens every single year.
So I want to ask you about the health, because health is, as you were hinting at, a major, major part of what has held this team back in the past. Like, how confident are you, more than anything else, the big elephant in the room, as the proverb goes, is James Harden's hamstring. Like, you've been up close to him. You've seen how he's been playing. Does it really look like he is, A, recovered from that enough where he's going to be able to do what he needs to do? And B, is he in shape?
So I went to Charleston for training camp this year. I thought he looked good in camp from what we're allowed to see. You know, obviously we're not allowed to see practice or anything. But, I mean, from the warm-ups or the shooting drills that he was doing after practice down at training camp, I thought he looked good. I thought even here in the preseason, he didn't have the same efficiency that he normally has or has had in his career. So that's a little concerning, but I thought he was able to take big steps forward in terms of getting to the basket a bit more. It seemed like he had a little bit more burst. He seemed like he had a little bit more, they looked a little more explosive than he had in the past, especially during that 21-game stint with Philadelphia last year and going into the playoffs. So I think there was a bit more that he could continue to build off of, but I'm very curious to see how this holds up over an 82-game schedule, though. Heading into this upcoming season, because obviously you just kind of alluded to it, Justin. James Harden and Joel Embiid are going to be the engine that drives this machine. As amazing as terrific as Tyrese Maxey has been, the development that he's taken is huge steps forward. It's still one of those things where it's just like, it's going to come down to James and Joel.
So you may hear my cat in the background. Apologies if that does happen. Besides that, I also saw in the preseason game that there was a collision that PJ Tucker left the game. How is he doing?
PJ should be fine. It was just really PJ being PJ. Like, he made some hustle play. He just fucking ran into Joel. And it just, like, you know, again, though, like, that's another freak injury, though. And, you know, like luckily both guys seem to be okay, but you know, it's stuff like that just always seems to kind of happen to Joel. So it's just like, now it's that's something that to really be concerned about heading into, you know, this season and when the playoffs roll around in April, May, and June.
I think the Sixers and the Celtics are probably in a similar class where they could meet the Bucks in the second round and get bounced, or they could end up in the conference finals and no one would be surprised. But also an injury or two could derail all of that. Kai, with less biased eyes than ours, perhaps, how impactful or not is the Rob Williams injury for the Celtics?
I see. I think it's a little more. I want to say that it's going to be impactful in a bad way, because they're really going to miss him. They are really going to miss him. Al Horford, as terrific as he was last year, he's obviously another year older. So you're like, you don't know if he's going to be kind of like the same type of defender at that point. I know you guys love Luke Kornet, But, you know, Lou Cornette isn't going to protect the rim or anything like that.
I have my suspicions, but I'm willing to wait and see how it plays out.
Well, actually, I'll push back. Luke Cornette is 7'2". I think he's the sixth tallest guy in the league.
That's pretty nuts. I mean, but even at 7'2", I'm not foreseeing.
He can protect the rim, but if you're expecting anything like even what Kabengele is going to bring, I think, to this team, you've got the wrong guy on the floor. He's going to be adding a bit more shooting with a dash of rim protection. So I actually kind of agree a little bit more with Kai in this situation.
Yeah, like Luke can shoot the ball. No, absolutely. Yeah. No, like he'll stretch the floor from the five and the four spot, but what Rob Williams brings to that team defensively is just, you know,
it's unmatched.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying much, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really – I don't know. It doesn't really matter. So it's just like I think Rob Williams' injury is going to kind of be a big deal, but I would still put Boston ahead of Philadelphia just for the simple fact that this team made the finals last year. The Udoka thing is obviously going to be something where it's just like, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to bring him back next year? Is he going to be your coach? Like, is he even with the team? Like, what's going on? Like, that's going to be something clearly two different situations. But it's going to kind of be like the Ben Simmons situation. It was in Philadelphia last year. I was just like, they were just constantly asked. All we did as media members is ask the Sixers about Ben Simmons after every game, even when they were winning. Mm-hmm. Hey, when's Ben coming back? So I feel like the Celtics are going to be doing the same thing. Hey, have you talked to Ime? How's he doing? Is Ime giving you guys direction? Like, oh, what's going on there? It's like, I feel like you know, like that's going to cast some type of cloud over them this season. That could be something that derails them. But when you look at the roster and you look at what Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were able to do this past year, and, you know, them being able to kind of rally and guide the Celtics to the NBA Finals, I thought that was impressive as hell. And that's why I put Boston ahead of Philly. Although I will say, I mean, listen, they're lucky that Jimmy Butler three-pointer in Game 7 didn't drop. Because I'm telling you, I thought it was dropping. I thought there was no way Butler was missing that shot. But yeah, like I would put Boston ahead of Philly right now.
I think you're right in terms of if they aren't fairly successful out of the gate, then yeah, that's going to be a very big issue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, and here's another thing. Well, when it comes to the Sixers and another reason why I kind of don't have them making the conference finals, Brooklyn's always kind of looming. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly right now are clearly out ahead of Brooklyn. But they're always the wild card, right? They clearly have the best talent in the Eastern Conference on paper between Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons. That is the most talented roster in the Eastern Conference. Joe Harris, all those guys. But they just never seem to get it together. They haven't been able to yet. So that's why people are kind of writing off Brooklyn, and I don't blame them because they're such a mess. But if the Nets were to get it together, then – honestly, they'd be my
top three team easily.
Yeah, they come out to make the finals this year. Is this Durant's incredible? Kyrie Irving, as much of a interesting character he is, he is a very talented basketball player. Can take a game over in the blink of an eye, and mm-hmm. he's incredibly hard to guard. And then Simmons, the Nets are kind of the perfect spot for Simmons because he doesn't have to shoot or score as much as he had to in Philly. All he's got to do is play defense and get the ball to Katie and Kyrie and get the hell out of the way.
Question about Blake Griffin. There has been some wildly varying opinions on how much he's going to be able to help this team. Where do you fall on that?
All right. So clearly he's not the player he was in Detroit. And I mean, obviously he was incredible with the Clippers as well, but the last we saw Blake playing at an elite level was with the Pistons, and he dragged that team to the playoffs, kicking and screaming in 2019, because that team was not good. That Piston team was not good. And somehow they made the playoffs because Blake Griffin was just playing out of his mind. Then he suffered the knee injury, and, you know, he really hasn't been the same player since. I thought he showed flashes with the Nets. I thought he kind of showed flashes. I feel like he'll kind of be doing the same thing for the Celtics. He'll be one of those things where it's just like, you know, he'll be able to kind of have like a couple throwback, turn back the clock type of moments. But if you're relying on Blake Griffin to be a part of your rotation and win a title at this stage of his career, then yeah, good luck.
I think the locker room is where he's going to be most important. Because yes. Justin, to your point, if they get out to a wishy-washy start or like TMZ swoops in with an Udoka bomb or something like that, just having someone who's seen a scandal of the highest order in the NBA and lived through it and seen organizational tumult, that might be really valuable. He's basically the same age as Mazzulla. He might be older.
2 years older, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's ridiculous. He's the same age as Horford. So I think he's incredibly valuable, but whether that's on the stat sheet or in the hearts and minds is a little different. Okay, let me pause the action. I'm going to do an ad read, and then Justin, you don't know this, but we're going to play a game. So let me talk to you about our friends over at betonline.ag. Football is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest football odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. As your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores, as well as giveaways all season long. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events with MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag today and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your reward. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Justin Quinn, you are the editor of Celtics Wire. Kai Carlin, you're the editor of Sixers Wire. So in theory, you're co-equals, although peek behind the curtain, we help each other out and all sorts of things. Anyways, I'm going to ask each of you a question, and to the benefit of time, I'm going to say, give me 10, maybe 15 seconds for an answer. Those are the rules. Any questions?
What are we doing? Let's do it.
We're going through the rest of our questions, but with a bit of celerity. Okay. Dr. Quinn, who was the most important addition to the Boston Celtics this offseason?
I mean, if I said anyone else besides Malcolm Brogdon, you would obviously, I hope, tell me I'm lying. If you've seen what he's doing with the second unit in the Celtics in the preseason, it's very, very evident why he's so important and what he's going to bring to this team.
It's Cap'n Kelly. What are you talking about?
I mean, he's my favorite in terms of vibes, definitely.
I was going to say Vonley. All right, Kai Carlin, the number one addition to the Sixers this offseason was...
I know a lot of people are going to say Melton, and I definitely agree that Melton was great, but I'm going to say Tucker. Just for a simple fact that Tucker is the only one on the roster with a championship ring. So he knows exactly what it takes to succeed in this league. And also Tucker was on those Houston Rockets teams with Harden. So he knows what it's – he's seen kind of – they ran to that buzzsaw in the Golden State Warriors every time they tried to win out in Houston. And then he goes to Milwaukee and he finally gets over the hump, wins a title. He was one win away from getting back to the finals last year in Miami. So I think that experience, that everything he's been through, that's going to be invaluable to this team.
I'm going to break the rules and actually pause. Kai, Trez Harrell, big deal, little deal, no deal?
Montrez is going to be huge. I know a lot of – listen, Sixers fans are obsessed with Paul Reed, and I understand it. He's B-ball Paul and just everything else. You know what's weird? He actually does even get – like when he gets introduced during home games or when he scores, normally the PA announcer yells out, B-ball Paul. He hasn't done that during the preseason. He's just been Paul Reed. He's just been Paul Reed. So I think he's maybe graduating to basketball, Paul. Maybe he's a little more. maybe he's a little more. He's a more mature Paul Reed.
Mr. Basketball, Paul.
Yeah, Mr. Basketball, Paul. So listen, I think Harrell's going to be huge. I think Harrell's going to be the backup center to Joel. I know Reed was the backup center during the playoffs behind Joel, but I really do believe that Doc will go to Montrez just for the fact that Harrell won Sixth Man of the Year under Doc while they were with the Clippers in the 2019-20 season. And then Doc just loves his veterans. He played DeAndre Jordan last year, the ghost of DeAndre Jordan last year down the stretch. So I feel like Harrell's probably going to be the backup center going forward, no matter what Reed does. Like unless Reed takes like leaps and bounds forward, it's probably going to be Harrell.
Sure. Okay, back to the game. Dr. Quinn. The Celtics will finish with what seed during the regular season?
Second seed. I think that the first half of the season is not going to go quite as well as some of us hope, but I do think that they are going to be very good. Even still, they're going to lose some games that will make the first seed pretty hard to catch by the time they get Rob back. But once they do, I think they're going to be fairly similar to how they were last season to close the season.
Tremendous. Guy, What seed will the Sixers get in the regular season?
I see. I have the Sixers 3. I see. I've already got this played out in my head because I've been debating this with friends all summer. I have Milwaukee in order. Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, Brooklyn, Cleveland, Miami, Atlanta, Chicago. Those are my 8 playoff teams this year in the East.
I think maybe the order gets a little jumbled, but not by much. I like that.
Right. I mean, like Toronto could probably sneak in there, probably, like maybe over like one of those.
Oh, actually, I think Toronto over Chicago, but other than that, it's pretty close.
Yeah, now that you say Toronto, I might disagree with you.
Right. Yeah, I love DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine too much, and I hope that Lonzo Ball can come back. I'm banking on that.
I like that. Plus, they're set up to make a little bit of a desperation trade. Okay, I'll stay with you, Kai. How far do the Sixers go in the postseason, even though you already told us your answer?
Well, yeah, round two. I mean, again, unless James and Joe are healthy and they don't have one of their playoff, because you know they, like I said, James has a history of playoff clunkers. Joe has a history of playoff injuries. If they can avoid that, then sure, they're making the conference finals with a chance to make the NBA finals in this upcoming season. But I am banking on history repeating itself. It just has a tendency of doing so. So I'm probably gonna rock with a Bucks Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. I will say this though, don't count out Cleveland. Like the Cavaliers to me are like so scary. And obviously the Sixers played the Cavs twice in the preseason. And in those two preseason games, Garland and Mitchell were incredibly hard to stop. And wait till they get Evan Mobley back.
I was going to say, depending on how he pans out this season, whether he takes another leap could be the difference between, you know, somewhere near the play-in and exactly what you were just talking about.
And then also, you know, Miami is going to do something. Like yes, they always come up with some. Jamal Cain is probably the next the random Heat player that will all of a sudden come onto the scene at some point.
Duncan Robinson is going to be playing in Phoenix for a Mr. Jay Crowder. That's my guess.
I honestly agree with that. I can see that happening.
Cool. Okay, Dr. Quinn, other side of the coin. How far are the Celtics going to go in the postseason?
The finals, the question is going to be whether it is with Rob leading at the 5 or Jacob Poeltl.
Oh, cool. I love that.
Well, this is basically like, is he going to be healthy? Because if they get to December and he's still kind of I expect them to throw the bag at the assets at Jacob Poeltl and the San Antonio Spurs, because he is probably the best fit of a center who's reasonably going to be available. If someone doesn't snag him first, that is.
It's Jakob.
Thank you.
Jakob Poeltl.
I'm doing my co-host job of mangling people's names today. So,
yeah, I teach AP World History. It's like it's madness. I'm mispronouncing everything. Actually, the Celtics are going to trade Derek White and everything I've got for DeAndre Ayton. Just kidding. Okay, anyways, to the benefit of time, even quicker answers this time around. Kai, stick with you. What is the greatest strength that the Sixers have?
I think it's the star duo of Joel and James. I know I just mentioned that their playoff history isn't great, but I think the pick and roll duo between those two, it was already statistically the number one pick and roll tandem in the NBA for those 21 games that he played in Philly last year. But then you're adding that to a full season, a full training camp, and you put PJ Tucker in the corner, who shot 39% on corner threes in Miami last year, and he hits corner threes like they're layups. So I think that pick and roll duo between Joel and James, that's going to be almost unstoppable on offense.
All right, Dr. Quinn.
Synergy from continuity that has been augmented by weak spots being buttressed by the new additions. So I think that is going to be the one thing that will be the engine for this team.
All right, cool. Three more quickies. Biggest X factor on the Celtics, Dr. Quinn.
Ooh, the biggest X factor.
I'm on the roster of player.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin.
I'm going to go with Sam Hauser here just because if he's anything like, if he's like 30% of the player we saw in the preseason appearances he had, they have a new tool. And it's a tool that is at a position where they really need some help. So.
Plus, they could probably put Pritchard in that dark white trade. Kai, biggest X factor on the Sixers roster?
It's going to be Tyrese Maxey. If Tyrese Maxey becomes an all-star this year, and he kind of steps into that whole most improved player race this upcoming season, that that's going to be a huge help for them as they move forward.
Okay, penultimate question, and I will give my answer just to give you some time because I'm springing this on you. What is your biggest hot take for your respective team? I'm going to talk about the Celtics. My biggest hot take is that Jason Tatum is going to win MVP because as these things go, he's going to get hot right around the right time. You need to get hot to win MVP. So he's sitting at like 13-1 odds right now. He's slipped a little bit. I think, as Justin alluded to, they're going to get hot in the winter and into the spring, and the narrative is going to suit itself. So Jason Tatum, congratulations on your forthcoming MVP award. Kai, as our guest, you get to give your hot take first, your Sixers hot take.
I'll say that one of the Sixers' new additions will be in the running for Sixth Man of the Year, whether it be Melton, House Jr., or Harrell. One of those three, or will definitely be in the running for Sixth Man of the Year, just because they're going to basically make that Sixers bench watchable.
Okay, Dr. Quinn, your hot take?
Derek White is not only going to become an integral part of Boston's offense, but he's going to shoot 38% from three this year.
Ooh, that'd be a career high, I believe. Love that for him. Okay, Kai Carlin, editor of Sixers Wire and part of our USA Today SMG family. What is your prediction for Tuesday night's game, the opening night of the season between the Celtics and the Sixers?
I'm going to say, I mean, it's going to be an emotional night. Obviously, opening night's always crazy. Obviously, the Celtics are dealing with the Udoka situation right now as well. So I'm going to say the Sixers win just because they have a little more continuity at the moment. Boston essentially has the same roster. They obviously added Brogdon. But I think that Udoka thing is going to be just kind of hanging over them at least for first week or so of the season. They could start out slow. So I'm going to say the Sixers win.
And Dr. Quinn?
It's really hard with the big man situation being so shaky at present. Maybe it's less so than we realize. But just to be a contrarian, I'm going to give the Celtics a narrow win. And I'm going to say that Luke Kornet shows us why we are wrong.
Is he going to be ready on Tuesday?
He should be ready to play in the preseason game that's going to be taking place around the time most people will be listening to this from what I'm hearing.
Cool. Fantastic. All right. Kai Carlin of Sixers Wire and USA Today SMG. Thanks for stopping by. And we hate to see you go, but I'll see you on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, guys. Justin, much love. Cam, much love. And Cam, yeah, I'll see you on Tuesday.
Fantastic. Go Celtics. All right. Thank you very much, Kai, for stopping by, talking to us about the Sixers. I think we're all right here that the top of the East is going to be crowded, and counting Giannis out feels naive. So maybe it's Giannis's Eastern Conference to lose. Anyways, thanks again, Kai. Justin, you and I are going to do the news. As you alluded to just before this cut, the Celtics and the Raptors are playing in Montreal for their final preseason game. So that's exciting for our friends north of the border. I don't know. Have the Celtics played in Montreal? This happened like 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, probably a long time ago, but not that I've been paying very close attention recently. So,
yeah, I don't think when was the last global game they did?
Italy? Well, that's what I know for sure. I know they've done one since then, but I think they were in Mexico City in like 2015, I want to say.
Okay. Well, in any event, good luck to the Celtics, I suppose, but just don't get hurt. Between now and opening night, one major milestone on the calendar, just the 17th is the deadline for Grant Williams and the Celtics to come to terms on an extension, among other players in their respective teams. Jake Fisher of Yahoo is reporting that it's not expected the two sides come together on a deal. And Dr. Quinn, you're not that flapped by that. Why are you so unflappable in this context?
There's great reasons for both sides not to do it. Grant's side, he's probably going to make more money. There, from what we're hearing, it's like 11 to 13 that we're hearing rumbles that he's being offered. That is something he should reject because he will make at least that unless he gets hurt, which doesn't seem to be too likely. He's pretty durable, so betting on himself is not that crazy of a thing. He's going to have a bigger role. He could probably play himself into something closer to the $20 million range, I think, this season, particularly with the big man depth being an issue for the Celtics. And then on Boston side, Grant's a really good player. He doesn't make a lot of money, and you can slap him in a trade, add a lot of value without adding a lot of cap. And that's really attractive to another team. So if you want to get him in and you want to pay him what you think he's worth on your team, then it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think that that's the perfect read. I don't think Grant, he's a younger guy, but I don't think he has any misgivings about how this all works. So I think he would agree with what you just said. And he'd also agree with that he's betting on himself and he's going to make more than that expected amount. So I suspect it will come to pass that they didn't come to terms and we'll have to offer our opinion. And I don't think our opinion will change, but who knows? In the same bit of reporting from Jake Fisher over at Yahoo, there was kind of a throwaway thing that was both interesting and a nothing burger. He was talking about the Jay Crowder situation in Phoenix and suggested that the Suns were interested in Derek White and that people in the NBA orbit had talked about Jay Crowder returning to Boston, but there wasn't any immediate interest there. So the Suns perhaps are interested in Derek White, hence what I brought up before. Doesn't seem like the Celtics are interested in Jay Crowder, but the fit isn't crazy. Anything you pull out of that that's worth really keeping an eye on?
I would much rather have Derek White than I would Jay Crowder, as much as I do think that Jay would be a really good fit for this team. And if he, you know, holds out to mid-December when he can be traded for Danilo Gallinari, if they think that Gallinari is a player that they're okay with moving, which if they're, you know, dealing with problems on the wing in terms of the 3-4 direction more than the 2-3 direction, then maybe they would go for something like that. But there's really no reason for that there to be any serious talks between the teams for either of those players at present, because there hasn't been any real movement or need to the level where they would do something like that.
Yeah, Alex isn't here today, and Alex thinks that we're co-presidents of the Derek White fan club, but that's not true. I'm the president. I don't know where he's the assistant to the regional Derek White fan club presidency. So it pains me to say that I do wonder if the Celtics would make an in-season consolidation move. And I think Derek White would be, for a lot of reasons, part of that salary, redundant assets.
That's exactly what I was trying to like hint at, is if you are going to move somebody, it's probably going to be him. It could conceivably be Brogdon in the right deal. But if somebody really big shakes free because of the whole Victor Wembanyama tanking scenario, you might be able to get a really good player for a much lower price than normal. And yeah, Jay Crowder is not that player. No offense, Jay. You're really, really good, for particularly for how late in your career you are, but you're just not that guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting that the number of teams that will eventually pack it in and sell off pieces. What was my, I had a catchphrase and I don't remember what it is. No winning for
one. Bricking for Vic?
No, not bricking for Vic. It was like no winning for Wembanyama or something. I forget what it was. It must not have been that good. Anyways, the number of teams like the Pacers, the Jazz, obviously, perhaps the Thunder. I mean, the number of teams that will be putting good, solid players out there for would-be contenders to take a bite at is going to be really interesting. And the Celtics might have a really nice roster right now, which they do, but if everyone else is loading up, they might feel the need to make a move. So if Hauser doesn't work out, maybe they'll add something on the wing. If the guard rotation needs trimming, they might do that. And then to your point, they might need another big man if the current situation doesn't hold. They're unfortunately, and I hate to even put this in the ether, they're one Al Horford injury away from having a big problem immediately. Sorry. Okay. If you're going to pay the tax, DeAndre Ayton is Rob Williams 2.0. Anyways, what are you looking for in the final preseason game, if anything? You mentioned that Cornette it's thought that he'll be back from that ankle sprain. Anything you're specifically looking for?
Well, presumably, both because this is in Montreal, in a place where they don't usually play, so the locals are going to want to see the star players of both teams, but also because 4 days later they start the season. I expect this is going to be a tune-up game. So really, I just want to see who is actually going to be starting in a game they want to win, in a game they're trying to win, rather than that something that's really more of kind of like an analytical exercise that happens to also be a game.
Yeah, we already talked about this. I'm not so worried about what happens in the preseason. I just don't want anyone to get hurt. Yeah. Okay, in the interest of news, the Celtics, they have to. They've already started to trim that preseason roster. Apologies in the pronunciation of the following names, but they cut Luka Samanić and Broderick Thomas.
Pretty good.
Samanić. And my last name is so nuts. You would think that I would have learned how to read complicated last names. Two folks are going to stay kind of close to home, but they're going to Maine, AJ Reeves and Reginald Kisonlal.
I have no idea. That's a good guess.
Yeah, he played well, I think, in Denmark. Got some attention there. They signed him, cut him, and now he's going to Maine. So just in the interest of bookkeeping, that's what went down. It's Thursday evening. The next time that we talk, we will have a real NBA Celtics basketball game to talk about. So thank you for listening to the NBA Basketball Celtics Lab podcast. And we'll catch you next week. Adios.